Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 274. This is Kevin. With me this week is Shahid. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Enjoying myself after a nice wedding on weekend.
Yes, it had to be the topic to lead off the show. It's why I preferred to have you on the show, because I know that even though Eric Nelson made an appearance at the wedding, I was going to have a much harder time getting a hold of him for a podcast.
The invisible man.
Yeah, we had even discussed doing a drunk podcast on Saturday night, but we all realized that it was already 1 in the morning, and we needed to drive home the next day. So, yeah, we just went to bed after that. I don't know. Is there anything, in particular that went down at the wedding there that was a highlight for you?
Well, the wedding itself was a definitely enjoyable event, because, you know, just seeing the love between the two of them was awesome. Like, between all that rough exterior, Jeremy's just a big old teddy bear. You know, his speech. I think I might have shed a tear or two. It was awesome. It was definitely from the heart.
You're going to let the people in on something that he shouldn't be known for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wedding food. Well, actually, it was different than wedding food, because they did more of a barbecue theme. So they did a pretty solid job of smoking the brisket. It was just weird to have it in thin strips.
So that was definitely a good choice, and we were at a table where they were playing a game. I guess smack your hand to get the Skittles in your mouth. I didn't partake because I'm a grown up, but everybody else at the table tried at least 3 or 4 times, including Eric and Carly. So that was hilarious.
Oh man, I did not hear about that contest.
Yeah, and I didn't know that Jeremy's father, who, you know, was this Mr. Twinkle Toes. That was definitely unexpected. Like, seeing him just do the waltz, just, you know, cut a rug, I'm like, Jeremy must get his dancing skills from someone else, because he don't get it from his parents.
Well, we can at least partially forgive him for not getting Ken's skills. Yeah. As usual, my highlight had everything to do with a large quantity of alcohol being consumed over the entire weekend.
Oh yeah, I saw the pictures. So
we decided to make a trip out of a trip. We had some spare time there, because we got in Thursday evening. So we hung out with him. I mean, we went and got dinner with him as soon as we got in Thursday night. And then the rehearsal was at 9 a.m. on Friday morning, because there was another wedding there, and it must have been kind of early, because people were already arriving to do some stuff for it at the end of the rehearsal.
Yeah, I got in Friday around noon. I got in early because I didn't want to deal with, like, any last second problems. And there was absolutely literally nothing for me to do in Simpsonville, South Carolina, besides complain about the damn traffic and hope I didn't get, you know, kidnapped. kidnapped at the Walmart. So, yeah, it was kind of, you know, the Walmart stereotypes you hear, like, every Walmart store may not have them, but some of them do. And this one, they eyeballed me like it was The Walking Dead. I had some brisket. I was just wanting to get my spray starch and get out of there as soon as possible. Jeremy had a good old laugh about that. So, yeah, there's one more highlight I have to talk about. Now, of course, at weddings, you know, they have DJ and wedding music. And I'm glad that some songs are universal, like the Electric Slide, the Wobble, and the Cupid Shuffle. I can now say that my life is complete because I saw Carly doing dances to these songs. And I thought it was a joke where, you know, you count to the beat and then do a move. I thought this was like in a comedy routine. Apparently that's a real thing. Because she was doing it, and she was doing it without any shame. And I was just looking at Eric, and Eric just looking at me. He was like, what can I say, white people?
So. Yeah, I was really glad that Eric sent the lady out there with his wife there. It saved me the indignity of having to do that.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid it because I think I didn't come onto the dance floor until Usher played, and then Jeremy kind of shamed me. Look, a black guy sings this song so you can dance to it. But other than that, like I said, it was a fun event. Finally got to meet Eric in person. You know, very cool guy. He's a real life person. He's not some rapist pretending to be, you know, a wrestling personality. His wife's an awesome lady. So I'm glad I made the trip. The trip was worth it. Got back safely, and it's something I can definitely look back at with fondness.
Well, one thing that for the first time in a while I've looked back with this some level of fondness, Raw last night was not all that terrible.
Yeah, that's true. That's been the consensus. I watched the first hour later. Like, I was watching Gotham, so I didn't tune in until hour two. It was, you know, it was a good show. It progressed a lot of things. It was only like really one thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I don't blame the show. I think it's just more of my personal feelings toward a certain character, and I've just accepted that.
Well, you can't just leave us hanging like that.
It's John Cena, and not, no, let me rephrase it. It's the booking of John Cena. I'm just, you know, I don't want to be one of those guys like, oh, I'm tired of seeing John Cena, he's bad for the business, because I know he's popular, blah, 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 good business, blah, blah, blah. Let's get that disclaimer out the way. When he does that whole goofy John Cena stuff, I just roll my eyes. Like, it's, I have no more patience for it. It's just funny because I think it bothers me more when, like, The Rock shows up and does his humor, his shtick, and then John Cena does it, like, later on. It just irks me more because, like, it's a way of doing WWE humor, like, taking corny material and making it good, and then there's a way not to do it. And that whole pretend to be an old man voice and all that stuff and just running down Randy Orton and then bullying Paul Heyman. I was in Randy Orton's corner on that whole promo.
Yeah, that was one of those things that's kind of funny to me. Like, I don't really have any problems with Cena. I've defended him more times than not, to be honest. And I would just rather see Randy Orton in the spot to take on Lesnar right now. Like, there's no reason that you can't have that linger for Cena, that he hasn't quite gotten that shot back again. But just as you put it, the way he's booked, I don't see Cena losing this match.
Yeah, and I don't either, but I'm in the same boat as you. I prefer to see Randy, even before this whole, you know, Randy Orton RKO and everybody on the internet thing. That's definitely still enjoyable. I've just been a fan of Randy Orton for like the past couple this asshole heel that's getting cheered and doing what he wants to do. And it would probably be a more entertaining match, him and Lesnar. But at the same time, you know, I like, Cena deserves his rematch. Like, you know, he kind of got screwed. But the problem comes in is, you know, he didn't make a big deal about that until, like, now. Like, his, and that's always been his thing. Like, you know, he, too many times he's lost a match or lost, you know, got screwed up the title. He's like, ah, that's fine. I'll be okay. I'm John Cena. The sun will shine tomorrow. So when he cuts a promo saying how important it is to get a rematch, get a title shot, you know, this has so much passion, it seems kind of forced. Like, you care now? Why do you care when it happened?
Well, he did kind of, he was just pissed off at Seth Rollins and kind of side-noted that he cost him the title. But he has been a bit off track of that the last few weeks.
And it's kind of hard to really, like, when Paul Heyman came out, like, I was glad he came out. He hadn't been there a while. It's, here's the problem with Paul Heyman. He's a heel, and you're supposed to boo him. But does he really say anything that would make you boo him? Like, his promo he cut on Monday was just him being honest. Like, Randy Orton and John Cena was great in 2002, but Brock Lesnar had the title in 2002. Brock Lesnar has the title in 2014, and, like, no matter how good they are, like, do you really want to go against Brock Lesnar? Like, all he said is, like, you don't have, if you think you're just going to fight Brock Lesnar again and beat him, you don't have a lot of sense. And based on everything, how the matches have gone, it's not like he's, you know, he's not lying, per se. So it's kind of hard to get on the hill when the hill's just telling the truth.
People don't like the truth, Shahid. They can't handle the truth. I mean, for me, it's always an enjoyable promo, and I mean, it's hard for me to think of a time that I didn't like Heyman. Like, I even remember the dumb gigantic cell phone back in the day, and I enjoyed his dumbass then, and I didn't know. You know, I wasn't worried about someone cutting a good promo at that point. I just enjoyed the guy. So, yeah, he doesn't lie, and it was just one of those things. It just kind of caught me by surprise, and I'm not sure that I... and it might have just been the hour that it happened. You said you caught it late. I didn't start it until 11:45 because the Steelers decided to actually win for a change.
Yeah, I turned that game off at this, I think, beginning of the second quarter. I checked ESPN the next day. I'm like, serious comeback. I'm like, what? Like, what the hell happened? And all that happened in the second quarter. Like, yeah, you can never sleep on that on the NFL. I think the whole thing that just surprised me about it, I think it's kind of, talk about it, is, yeah, they started 2002, and it's 12 years later, but none of them are really, like, old, you know, like, they're all on kind of, I know, like, Lesnar and Cena are in their mid-30s, I think, or it might be early 30s.
Right.
Like, but you think of, like, Lesnar's being fresh because, you know, he wrestled for a little bit, was gone for a long time, just came back, while Orton and Cena's been wrestling, like, non-stop, like, they, you know, more or less beside injuries, 12 years is a long time. It's a long time. Like, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold didn't wrestle in WWE 12 years. You know, Triple H might have been, and that's probably one of the reasons why people got tired of him. Like, you know, everybody has a shelf life, and it's amazing that they, like, seen as popular as he is, considering how long he, like, you know, he gets booed a lot, but he still gets a reaction. People care about him.
Right.
I'm saying a lot to be around that long, and just people still care about you. You be the top guy, and really nobody close. Like he said, you know, basically his promo, he said, you know, come and beat the guy who runs the place. And I like how he's been doing that lately. Like, he's been embraced, like, you know, even though I have the title, I'm the man, I'm the, you know, I run the show goes through me. Like, I'm not used to hearing that. Yeah. He's like Mr. All Shucks and everything like that. And it's kind of like he's earned the right to say it.
Yeah, and he really has used that line at least since the Bray Wyatt feud early in the year. Like that's been pretty consistent pretty much the whole year. And it's always been that way, I guess, with Cena, is that when he goes serious, he's fine, but he just throws in so many stupid jokes that it's just hard to handle. You know, there's just never a comfortable stretch with him, at least as a fan, or as somewhat fan.
It's like they don't know, he's not consistent, and they don't know, it's like they always try to figure out exactly how to market him. Like, you know, he has this young fan base, so we gotta have him do, like, kiddie jokes and everything like that, but most of the time they fall flat. And it's kind of like, while people our age, it's kind of like, not this crap again. But when he gets serious, it's kind of like, okay, I get behind, you know, fiery John Cena, serious preacher John Cena, because he's going to say he's going to go out there and handle business. But I guess you only can do that for so long until that gets tiring, because, like, cut that promo all the time, like, it's old, too. So it's like they try to find a mix. But when they go toward the comedy side, it just falls flat on their face. And, like, that whole thing on Monday, you know, he just busy calling Randy Orton stupid. That's his whole rebuttal. Like, you're being dumb. You worry about what happened in 2002, and that's the last time you brought up. If I was Randy Orton, I would have done the exact same thing. Like, who's stupid? You know, you're talking all this mess, then turn your back. Like, you don't know what's been going on the internet? You're going to turn your back to me? And oh, look, an RKO. And then I like the little throw the head out the ring. Something subtle like that. Like, Randy Orton's been doing little subtle things lately. And it's kind of like, I've been talking about for a long time, I never got that whole, he's Seth Rollins' henchman and doing, you know, Seth Rollins' dirty work. Like, that's beneath Randy Orton. Like Randy, I know that it elevates Seth Rollins, but Randy Orton is better than that. And I think kind of the crowd gets behind him because he still can put on a good match. He's still young. And it's not like they're pushing him down the throat like via, you know, having a belt. So the crowd doesn't mind getting behind him.
Yeah, he's really, he's been underutilized for a while now. And I'm not surprised that people are getting around and they're finally booking him in a good way. Like, as much as he isn't Seth Rollins' henchman and it's beneath him, they're finally playing that up. Like, they kind of brought it up for a couple of weeks. They didn't seem to really be doing too much with it. But you can tell, especially with the curb stomp at the end there, that they're getting ready to do something with those two. Whether they're going to have Randy Orton turn full-fledged face or not, is kind of up for question. But they're definitely doing something, which is nice. Like, Orton really has just been lost for so long because he's been... well, he may not have been Seth Rollins' henchman, but he was the authority's bitch for... I mean, it's been a year and a half now or something like that. I'm trying to think of when they gave... When did they give him the world title? Has it been 2 years at this point? Over Daniel Bryan?
It's been at least a year, probably a year and a half, close to 2 years. I would say at least a year, because he got it at SummerSlam, last year, so a year and some change, I want to say.
Yeah, so, I mean, he is slightly more fresh just because they haven't, used him to death. Like, I mean, he's kind of been in the background. So, I think that's part of it. And just, he's always had it. Like, but he's been one of those guys that's been, let's keep him on SmackDown. And even though he's kind of been a mainstay there, he hasn't been as on Raw as much either. I mean, I know that he gets his matches, but he was still more of a featured performer on SmackDown for a lot of time, too.
That's true. Yeah, and he didn't have to deal with having a promo with a dummy. Like the Horizon Store. I made the mistake of watching that Dean Ambrose promo with the Seth Rollins dog, my wife. And my wife is watching, like, she had this look on her face. Like, she watches wrestling when I'm watching it. She had this look on his face, like, what in the world are you watching? And I would have the same look. And I'm not surprised, because I knew this was going to happen. Like, they can't help themselves. And I don't blame Dean Ambrose one bit. But that was ridiculous. That was just, like, I know what they're trying to do. He's good enough to get behind it, you know, get beyond that. And I like the interaction with him, Rollins, and Foley. Like, you know, you're going to bring Foley out, make it seem important. And when you think of Hell in a Cell, that's one of the people you think about. So it made the match important. But that crap beforehand is like, it's, no, like, don't, you know, don't neuter him like that. Like, have him keep his edge. Just, you know, just don't, yeah, just no. It's like when LOD came out with the rubber spikes. No.
Well, I guess it's kind of funny. I didn't make this connection earlier, but like, it cracked me up when Rusev said that he was going to rip Big Show's heart out and eat it. Just because you're kind of letting it go, like, you're like, oh, it's a foreigner who doesn't know how to translate thing or just thinks of things differently. Like, you kind of let it slide. But you hear Dean Ambrose doing the same thing in English to a doll, essentially, and you're just like, this is dumb. Like, I know they're not completely the same, but I mean, they're close enough. It's just like, I had two different reactions, though, just because of the situations.
At least Rusev, like you said, Rusev had this use of being a foreigner. Like, you know, if he's gonna cut an English threat, it's gonna, you know, sound like that. This is a man that just lets somebody know he's gonna kick somebody in the groin. So,
yeah, so he's had some classic ones.
I'm gonna try to pull Big Show's heart out, and, you know, all that stuff. But Ambrose is kind of like, they want to make him palatable for everybody. Like, they want the kids to like him. No, I'm like, the promo he had with Cena backstage when they're doing the whole Batman and Superman thing, and they played it up like, you know, you're more like the Joker. And he dropped that "why so serious" line. It's cute, but it's subtle. Like, he didn't overplay it. He just set the line. The crowd got it. They cheered. That was fine. But him giving a power driver to a Seth Rollins doll and tell him, I'm going to give you a hand, and I saw what's going on and pulling a saw out. I'm like, come on now. You're a grown man. Like, if I'm Seth Rollins, I'm looking at, like, what is this idiot doing? How am I going to take him seriously?
Right. Well, and Rollins actually did do a good job of going with that theme, really, more or less, because he was just saying he was too crazy, like, that both Foley and Ambrose were too crazy to win the match, and they needed smarts to win it. So, I mean, I think he kind of got behind what you were aiming for.
Yeah, like, you know, they got to the finish line. They stumbled their ass to get there, but they got there. Like, you know, they served the purpose. I'm looking forward to seeing that match. There's definitely a reason for them to have a Hell in a Cell match. So that makes sense. It's just like the Cena Orton match. Like, it's, I'm curious to see who wins that match, even though we've seen them fight a zillion times. It's been a while since they fought, and they both can bring it. And it's funny that, more than likely, I wonder which match will go on last. Like, you know, they've been building Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Like, you know, that's the big time feud. But the, you know, the concept, like the, I like to call it the bronze medal match, is being built. Whoever wins that match gets a title shot. Like, usually consolation, you know, that's a way to make that match seem important. But it's kind of, it makes sense in the storyline, because that's what Seth Rollins won. But it seemed kind of odd. Like, whoever lost the match to fight Seth Rollins, if he wins his match with Orton, he gets a title match.
Yeah, I didn't think about that that little problem, to be honest with you. And you're right. Yeah, the loser of a match should not be in a number one contenders match. So even though they do obviously have more of the track record, and they're letting the well, I think you did say it, that the storyline perspective plays out. Just because you got the money in the bank on one side, so you don't need to have the number one contendership up for grabs in that one. But logically, it doesn't really play out.
Yeah, but like I say, who will be in a rush to really fight Brock Lesnar? So I don't blame Seth Rollins for doing that one bit. It behooves him to pick up the pieces later on, then go after that. Like, let other people be banner rams for Brock Lesnar. You know, don't be a fool and do it yourself. So I can see why Seth Rollins is doing it. I guess I can see why John Cena would go for that, because, you know, he wants his revenge. Orton probably wants a title shot, but he's going to neglect it. And Ambrose wants Rollins. So each person's, you know, perspective, it makes sense why they're doing what they're doing. But like you say, you know, usually if you have a bronze medal match, if you win that, you don't get a rematch for the gold medal. You just get your bronze.
Right. Oh, shit, what was there? There was something in there that, fuck me, that I wanted to move with, and I kind of forgot it.
I know something I want to move forward to. I know they're trying to make Big Show the hero of America, but they doing a piss poor job of that. Like, I had no sympathy for that soldier. What, like, that soldier getting kicked in the face, that's Big Show's fault.
Yeah, that was, I didn't care one way or the other. Like, you could tell that it was a plant. They didn't ever show the guy's face. And, like, he purposefully hid in the mat. So, it's just like, whatever, I know it's a plant. Like, no one's going to get into that ring and have that kind of move executed on them. Or it's not even going to be on TV.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they show on TV now, I won't put that against wrestlers, because, you know, we've seen plenty of time when wrestlers start a streak. Like, I made the joke with you or Jeremy. Like, Dolph Ziggler had an interview with The Miz, and he started off, like, you know, random fight with a dropkick with dress slacks on. Like, only wrestlers use logic to start, like, a street fight with a dropkick. So, Rusev doing that, you know, a super kick to somebody's face, I can see that. But, yeah, they wouldn't show the face. They wouldn't put the camera on the guy that was really, you know, person doing it. So, I didn't think. Like, after, like, a second, like, I knew it was part of the storyline. I laughed when it happened. Like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't all out there to kick the. So I'm like, this dumbass got what he deserved. Don't get in the ring with professionals. They warn you with that. I watched WWE Network. I saw the ladder match with Eddie Guerrero and Rob Van Dam when some guy did that, and he got his ass beat. I watched Nitro when somebody got thrown in the pool because they jumped in a match with Nash and Hall. Don't jump in the ring. They tell you all the time. So I don't care if you had on a uniform. He wants to defend the, you know, he wants to defend the flag, because Big Show want to have a nice old laugh. He got what he deserves. And then Big Show will be all serious, like, there's some things you don't do. You don't disrespect the troops. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you started that by messing with the flag a couple weeks ago in the first place. So, what you thought was going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know why I feel like you need to have some reason to kind of claim that U.S. thing to be against Rusev, because Swagger makes sense, the real American-American, and Mark Henry makes sense since he had Olympic bids. But Big Show, it's just like, okay, great, he was Mark Henry's friend, but... I guess I feel like I need another seal of approval for his Americanness. So, I mean, I guess that's why it's kind of ringing a little bit hollow for me. Like, he hasn't really drawn any connection to make me feel like he's super patriotic or anything like that.
You know my problem with the storyline's been? Big Show's been kind of a dick, like the whole thing. Like first, he kind of pushed Mark Henry into doing it, saying, you know, you got the weight of America to do it. 360 million people cheering for you, you know. He pushed him in there, even when Mark Henry was injured. Then when Mark Henry loses, like, you know I kind of pushed you there, and I'm sorry I put all that weight on you. My shoulder's wide enough to take the weight, so I'm going to do it. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to be a better man than you and do what you couldn't do, even because I'm your friend. And then they have him and Mark Henry, like, jump Rusev. Like, as big as these two jokers, they're going to go 2-on-1 on Rusev, and I might have sympathy for the Big Show. Like, they've been booking Big Show like a heel.
Yeah.
This whole time.
That was the worst one. I was just like, oh my gosh, how is this happening? Like, why am I supposed to be cheering this? Like, there was no reason to cheer that angle.
And not only that, like, you know, he tears down the flag and talked about that. Like, all Rusev did was back up what he said. He backed up his words. He didn't jump anybody. He didn't hit anybody from behind. He just beat people in matches. Big Show been he sent Mark Henry to, you know, soft him up first. He jumps him with Mark Henry. He, you know, he grabs the Russian flag and all this nonsense. It's kind of like, oh, now I'm mad because you beat up a soldier that jumped the ring. Like, now I'm going to be a patriot. You don't do that in the U.S. of A. I'm like, you've been a bully in the U.S. of A. Like, why? I don't want to be represented by that.
I can certainly understand that stance. I mean, I don't want him to be American. Well, he's not American enough for me. And, that one just tripped up and fell flat on my face. I mean, he's just been booked poorly to boot. So it's just like, the only reason I've liked the feud so far, honestly, is just the fact that Big Show has been a better in-ring opponent for Rusev than anybody else they've given to him. And I guess that might be why I haven't paid attention to the angle as well, to think about those broader topics. I mean, it's pretty obvious, the 2-on-1 attack. But I hadn't thought about how, as an overall whole, how poorly it had been booked. Right. Yeah, and I mean, I guess the other reason I've been okay in some respects with this is the first sustained, I didn't think that they built the Mark Henry angle very well. It was a little choppy because they interrupted it with some other stuff in there. Oh, like another Swagger rematch for some reason. And Mark Henry did something as a tag team with Big Show for a week or two. So they kind of screwed the pooch a little bit on that one. This one's been the first one that they've kind of sustained the angle, which has probably helped out Rusev more than anything. I just really haven't been that high on him, but this feud at least has made me like him quite a bit more.
Well, then the feud succeeded, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to like the bad guy more, though.
I mean, you care about him, so that's one thing. Either you're gonna, if you're not necessarily going to follow the storyline, at least you care about the storyline, so it's kind of like a silver lining.
Yeah, well.
Maybe I haven't been paying attention to something. This whole Nikki Rebella thing, whoever loses has to be a maid for a month. Like, where did that come from?
Well, Brie got that pin out of the blue, and then on SmackDown, they, announced that, they were gonna have the, loser of the match at Hell in a Cell become, the other's assistant. They didn't say maid.
They seemed like, you know, Bella Butler on Raw, they was pushing that, during Raw Monday. It's kind of like, I care about the storyline because I'm a fan of goofy female storylines. Usually in situations like this, I know sometimes the old school thing is have the face win so you humiliate the heel. But I'd rather have Nikki win, like this torture breed.
Oh, see, I'm of the other mindset. I figured that the WWE loves that angle where the baby face is subservient to the heel, because then they can build up the anger, and then the baby face finally snaps and whoops the heel's ass.
Yeah, more like usually when the baby face wins, though, that's like NWA WCW used to do that, had like the baby face win and like embarrass the heel for a month. But like you said, WWF is usually the other way around, and it would make more sense because it's more like I know it's a diva match, but when you look at Nikki and you look at Brie, like Brie beating her, like really, I'm like, it's no way in hell. Like if they had a fair fight, I'm believing Brie Bella beating Nikki Bella at all. You know, they used to have been twin sisters. They aren't twin sisters anymore. They don't look alike anymore. Like Nikki looked like she had about 15 pounds of solid muscle on her sister.
Yeah, she is quite a bit larger at this point, not just in the chesticle region. So, yeah, I would think that she would have the upper hand in that department. And I guess I just get bored, because the WWE always goes that route, I just kind of get bored with it. And I just haven't really cared. Like, I have 5 episodes of Total Divas still sitting on my DVR. Like, I just can't get into it. I don't like regular reality shows to start with. So, a wrestling one really hasn't helped me get into the genre any more than anything else.
I watch it. I'll be the first to admit, my wife loves it. I haven't watched all of the episodes this season. I think I watched like the first 2 and the last 2. Because it's insane. Like, the storyline, if you're a wrestling fan, is BS. But if you just... The problem is, wrestling fans are taking that and kind of look at the wrong way. I treat this pure comedy. Like, when Brie Bella's complaining... when Nikki's complaining to Brie, saying, you know, they had a storyline where... No, Daniel Bryan didn't want to do surgery because he wanted to do a holistic treatment, things like that. And they're building up like, you know, he's being selfish because if he's not working, he's not getting paid, and it's only Brie, and they might have to ask John Cena and Nikki Bella for a loan. What? I mean, I already know it's like, I watch wrestling enough to know, like, about downside guarantees, and I know it's ridiculous, but just the hilarity Brie Bella asking Nikki to ask John Cena to borrow some money for the mortgage payment. It's just, you know, high comedy. And then John Cena cracking jokes like, you know, I had an elbow surgery. I came back in 3 weeks. Daniel Bryan had 1 surgery. He tried to rub berries on it. Now he needs another surgery. He'll never, like, him just being a complete asshole is just hilarious.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. I did see the loan episode. And that, I'm just sitting there going, okay, just let me count the ways that this is stupid. I mean, aside from the we're not making any money ridiculousness, like, it's just like, why would you think you'd need to invest $2.5 million into some motel joint like 1 week after you get injured or something like that? It's just like, huh? Just like, no. And I keep on saying this too, and it goes back to the angle. Brie is such a pain in the ass on that show. She should be the heel in this situation. Like, I really dislike her, and I'm completely fine with Nikki. Like, Nikki was dumb enough to ask John for the money, but it was just like, Brie was the one who went behind her husband's back and asked for money, like, right off the bat. Like, he kept on saying, hey, let's see what our options are. Like, I mean, if you're just looking at it from a storyline, I guess. Brie is the cunty bitch, and Nikki is just kind of the dumb accomplice sister.
Yeah, the problem with that show is kind of, if you watch Raw and then you watch Total Divas, it's just such a disconnect, because a lot of characters, like, if I'm John Cena on Total Divas, seems like John Cena on Raw is like, you know, evil twin brother. Like, they are completely different people. And it's just such a disconnect. Like, the one on Total Divas is enjoyable. He's like a full, you know, full-fledged adult. He's an asshole, but he's an adult.
Right.
He's not like some muscled-up six-year-old. Like, I always joke over Jeremy, like, John Cena on Raw is like Shazam, basically. He's just like a muscled-up eight-year-old that's a superhero. But another problem is, so many people on that show is unlikable. Like, you bring up Brie, Natalya is just the dirt worst. She just comes off so tone deaf. Like, her, Eva Marie, like, it's kind of like, the likable people on that, I can count on one hand.
Well, at least speaking from experience, I've had a divorce in my life, and, like, you could just see, like, they made it obvious. I don't know if it's really a storyline about Natalya and Tyson Kidd getting divorced, but holy shit, do they not seem to have any connection whatsoever, other than they were trained by the same people and grew up together. Like, and you're right, like, she's just complete, like, she is not a likable person on the show in any way. So, I mean, it's just like, hold on, why is she a baby face still? Like,
yeah, like, the worst part is, like, she's not likable, and she doesn't realize she's unlikable. Like, she has this opinion, like, you know, she's the paragon of Canadian virtue. Like, what's wrong with everyone else? I'm great. Why don't you realize it? It's kind of like, you know, she just comes off like an ass. Like, Summer Rae is a jerk, but she makes Summer Rae seem sympathetic. And we're talking about a girl that, you know, dated her friends, you know, date the same episode. Oh, you know, they're not going out. I know them. I'll go out. Like, that whole thing with Rosa Mendez was like, she just had no shame. I think it was probably, I don't know what episode it was.
Oh, okay.
Rosa went on a date with, like, a...
You spoiled the episode for me, Shahid. Damn you.
excuse me. Spoiler alert. So, Rosa went on a date with a football player, I think from the Carolina Panthers. And, like, she was kind of like, you know, I don't want to... I'm waiting for it. I'm basically holding my goodies in, so I realize you actually care about me before I give it up. Because I've been through a lot, like, dealing with rehab and everything. And he's kind of like, well, you know, where's the check at? I'm here to have fun. And they kind of build up where how Summer Rae knew him. I guess they met in Charlotte. Because she used to live, like, she lived in Carolina. I guess they met each other then.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as, you know, one door closes, here she go. I haven't been on a date in a while. It's hard to meet new people. So I'm going to date, you know, she don't want him. I'll date him. Now, I know there's something against the girl code. Like, I've I've seen Sex and the City a few times, so I know that's against the female sister got bylines. And they kind of played it up that way. So normally you would hate something like that. But you put around on the tires, like, you know, some race seems nice.
It's
a long story that makes you realize how much of a jerk Natalya is.
Well, and it was funny, like, just that episode where Natalya tosses her out of the car. It's just supposed to be like, oh, I'm supposed to feel bad because she was dogging Natalya about getting into an awful marriage. And it's just like, I end up feeling sympathetic for Summer Rae, who gets booted from the car because she just freaks out entirely too easily.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's true. I've always wondered about that because people were talking about it, like the whole thing with Natalya and Tyson Kidd. People just assume, like, is he cheating on her? Is he gay? Like, it's just no sexual chemistry whatsoever. Like, he treats her like that's his cousin.
Yeah.
And they build it like, you know, it's like you said, like, they grow up together. They learn how to do, you know, German suplexes in the same backyard. And no one else is in that same age range, so let's get married. I mean, you need a better reason. I mean, I guess it can work, but you need more than, like, matching arm drags to have a relationship. And it
yeah.
seems like they have better chemistry actually on, like, NXT when they interact that way than they have on Total Divas.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I haven't really seen their work down there, so I can't really rate it one way or the other.
It's perfect. He's basically playing the henpecked husband that's in her shadow. Like, they chant Natty's husband at him. So, and he takes it the wrong way. Like, he has more character in NXT than he ever had on, you know, WWE with David Hart Smith. So it's definitely been a boom. Like, people care about him. It's just weird just seeing that. But that's why I watch Total Divas, because it's hilarious. Like, I already know it doesn't make any wrestling sense whatsoever, but it's cheap fun. And it's people already know. And like I said, adding, you know, they're adding Alicia Fox and Paige next season. So.
Yeah, they keep on adding people. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get maybe more into it. And I'm not sure that I can even do that right now. It's just that. Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Basically. Yeah. It just really isn't. I'll get to them if I can, I suppose. But
I always tell people, like, if it's for people like my wife that watches enough wrestling to know who the people are, but likes, like, reality TV. Like, she knows these people. So she enjoys the storyline. If you, like, somebody had, like, a wrestling, you know, newsletter, it's like, oh, that doesn't even match kayfabe. Like, there's no way they would shoot like that on SummerSlam. I was like, don't even watch.
Yeah.
You're going to give yourself a headache. Like, if you're going with that mindset, you're just wasting your time. Don't even bother.
And I guess that was kind of the one funny thing. And because Jeremy did ask me about it down at the wedding. And the lady was doing the Total Divas columns, and I thought it would be a natural fit for her because she likes some of the reality TV stuff, but she goes, this is even too stupid for me. It's just like, wow. Okay, so that's it. I barely got that first season of writing out of her because, like, I really had to coax her into it. And the second season... I think we maybe got half of it done or something like that. And she was just tapped completely. Like, she just wanted nothing to do with it anymore. So,
I guess one more thing before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
They kind of build up a little bit on SmackDown. The whole, I don't know if it's going to be a match. Like, they've been talking about it. You know, the Dirty's been talking about it like a potential match. Rock and Triple H.
It could be a good special attraction match at WrestleMania. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with that. You know that Triple H is probably going to lose, so...
Yeah, podcast and you're taking someone's spot because they didn't earn it, they're part time and blah, blah, blah. So if you want to have them on TV and you don't want to have them in the main event, have them wrestle each other. You can have like a special attraction rematch. Like they have chemistry and it passed the part where you know it's kind of like we're competing against each other. I got to get over on you. It's kind of like they're both, you know, they're grown men, they're legends. If The Rock loses, he'll still be, you know, he'll still make movies. He won't drop out of Fast 7 if he loses to Triple H. And if Triple H loses, he's not going to get fired being a CFO in WWE. So they can win or lose to each other. They can cut promos against each other. And they have chemistry. And I think the difference now is there's enough times of lips and they're in their position they are where they have respect and kind of like, I won't say they're buddies, but you see enough about like they kind of respect each other and they kind of like, you know, brag about each other more or less. And I watched SmackDown, that little segment they had. It was funny. It was entertaining. And it made me care about WrestleMania. You know, just the little, yeah, if you come back out, you know, you remember what happened last time on SmackDown where I beat you and like you only won because Shawn Michaels helped. And like, you know, if you came back, I beat your ass. And it just escalated there. Like they got in each other's face and then they're kind of like, why are we so close to each other? Like, and Steph comes in, like, you always get like this around The Rock. And then The Rock ends it off, like, you know, why don't we go to dinner? Why don't you pay, you cheap bastard? And Triple H goes off, like, this Joker just had, like, 3 number 1 movies last year, made $40 billion. I got to pay for dinner. Like, something. So they kind of played off each other. And it worked. Like, it was a goofy little segment that built off in history. But it worked.
That was, I think I noted that in one of my Monday morning columns just because I found that segment really funny. Like, it cracked me up. So if they get to do more of that, and I'm sure that they turn up the serious tone a little bit more than they did in that one, it would be a fun special attraction match. And like you said, it doesn't really matter who wins. I mean, I'm just assuming The Rock would, but I don't really care at this point. They are who they are.
And it will be, regardless of who wins. And I was talking, you know, the best way to have that match? Have those two wrestle, have HBK be the special guest ref, and bring it all back. You know, they bring it full circle. Because remember, the first big match in SmackDown was a title match between those two. And HBK was a special ref, and they ended with him super kicking The Rock. And they used to make a big deal how, you know, how come The Rock never wrestled Triple H? It's because The Rock couldn't stand. I mean, why didn't The Rock wrestle Shawn Michaels? It's because The Rock didn't like him for a long time. Like, that part is over. Like, you know, he squashed that hatchet. But you can build up on that. Like, enough people that will watch that match will know that history, and you can build up on that history. Like, have those three icons. And just, you know, bring it back. All the way back full circle. Redeem what you did on SmackDown 15 years ago. However long ago it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess it was 15 years. Good gravy. Wow.
Yes, we're old.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's getting to that point. Yeah, I don't feel like mentioning that other thing that I have that we kind of slated, but and I'm not really sure that there's anywhere else we can go with this talk because, like you said, it is speculation. So if they have it, cool. If they don't, like, it's not gonna break my heart. I'm sure they'll come up with something.
Might as well, because people be wondering what were they talking about. So I'll let you bring it up. Because when you told me, I was amused and surprised and just laughed, and I was at work laughing about it.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things that I still watch TNA, and I mowed through it after I got back from the wedding. That and SmackDown, actually. And I think Chris had told me about it at some point, actually, because he reads spoilers for some reason or another. I don't have the time to do that shenanigans. But Brodus Clay showed up in TNA as Ethan Carter III's new bodyguard. And I have said it entirely too many times. So I've just made the point of just going, no, it's not going to be any better for them. Like, it's just like, oh, Mike Knox got underutilized. And, well, they used him well for maybe a couple of months. But his current bullshit with the circus or whatever the fuck they're calling themselves.
I only remember them because of the female there. I could care less about the rest of them.
Oh, yeah. And I was completely fine with... it was either Jesse or Zema Ion smacking her ass all of the last match. That was really an enjoyable sight. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of just some other examples, I guess, of, you know, WWE guys that I thought that's got most, underused.
Most of them. I mean, but besides Ethan Carter, TNA's been too much like, you know, they didn't get a chance where they were, so we'll give them a chance here. And it's been Kennedy.
Oh.
It's been Jim Hardy. You know, it's been Team 3D.
I'm not going to really... I mean, they use Team 3D, and Jeff Hardy is kind of an afterthought now.
I mean, some success stories, like, you know, Bully Ray definitely a success story. Like, he... I didn't know he had it in him. Like, for a time, he's the best thing about TNA. And, you know, like Ethan Carter, I remember him on WWE. Like, he was a nobody. Like, he's not necessarily like a somebody now, but he's more important than he ever was there. Like, so they have a few success stories. But it's been, for everyone like that, they either had somebody that's been neutral, like Christy Hemme, or they had somebody that's got on your nerves, like, you know, Mr. Anderson. Like, I would say their top success story would probably be, what, Bully Ray and... what's the chick name?
Gail Kim?
No.
Oh,
Taryn Terrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden turned to Abdullah the Butcher as a female. Like, I didn't see that coming. All these hardcore female matches. But, you know, it's been a few.
Right.
Like you always say, you know, you give them a chance, it might work for a little while. Like, you know, MVP's there. Oh, Lashley's there. Like, I would have... if it was like 5-6 years ago, it would have meant more. You know, now it's kind of like they'll get a, you know, they'll get something for a little bit, and then what?
Yeah, well, in MVP's case, he's too old and he gets injured and can't take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, I could give a crap less that Brodus Clay is there. I thought he was underutilized. They're using him in some type of capacity that I would have rather seen him in, which is bodyguard status. But, whatever. I mean, I just don't think they have enough infrastructure to build anyone up properly either.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you, because it's kind of like, they had him do that when he was with Alberto Del Rio. Like, it was a jacked up combination, but it was there. And that worked way better than that Funkasaurus mess. It's kind of like, I think what happened was they took what he was going to be and turned Mark Henry into that. And it's kind of like, well, what were we going to do with you? Let's have you dance with the girls. And like, the girls are still around, and he got kicked to the curb. And it was just... it was just sad, like what could have been, but it wasn't like he was ever going to be WWE champion. So even if he was utilized correctly, how much of a difference would it have made?
Oh, for him, probably a good couple hundred thousand a year, but.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting those checks, so God bless him.
Oh, well, then that topic considered blown through. We are just about at the 1 hour mark. We can do the at Stunt Granny, at Frango 11, at Shaw Farm D, And at Granny Mae's, if you feel like bugging him while he's enjoying his time in an undisclosed location, enjoying a honeymoon.
Yeah. He's killing that barbecue right now, so I've seen it. I've seen the pictures.
Yep, kind of hard to miss. And luckily right now, to his credit, he did get me a six-pack of Charlotte beers to consume as part of his groomsman gift. And that's what I'm drinking tonight. Is it's from Charlotte. It's a Noda Hop Drop and Roll. And I think it's supposed to be one of their signature flavors, and I certainly understand why. It's a pretty tasty IPA.
Well, that's true friendship right there.
Yep, help give your friend cirrhosis. It's outstanding. Okie doke. Well, are you going to do the, yeah, you can do the send-off.
Okay, for Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahida Dulhadi. Remember, you don't have to count to the beat to have a good time. We are